You know, there's this word that God's just been given birth to in my heart that I just want to share with you this morning. You know, I remember years ago we were pastoring down in Wellington, and Jude and I went along to, you may remember this, a conference. It was a pastoral counseling conference, and it was 2 weeks. And the guy that was running, well-known counselor around New Zealand, and he used to like pushing your buttons. You know those sort of people that they push your buttons? They say things that kind of really get up your nose. And he was really good at this. And he would do it. I think he did it just so if you had some sort of issue, it would surface and he'd go for it, you know. And he told a story about he was out of town and it was Sunday, so he went along to this church he'd never been to before, and he came into the church and they did their stuff, and they finished the service, and he just sat there in a seat like this. And he said people went out, got coffee, and he just sat there like this. And and then it got longer and longer, and people started to go home, and the church emptied out, and the pastor was kind of standing over by the door talking to somebody. Blah, 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 blah. And the pastor comes up to him, and he goes, we're finished. It's time to go home now. And he said, I'm not going home until I've encountered God. And he said, you know, we sometimes go to churches that you can go and you can go through the motions and you can do all the stuff and you never encounter God. And he said, that was one of those churches. And I'm sitting there, you know, I'm thinking, he's getting at me because I'm a pastor. And I looked around and I was about the only pastor in the, one of the few pastors in the meeting. And I was thinking, you know how it is when you smile? On the outside, that was me, man. There's stuff going on inside. And I think maybe there's some insecurities here, Glenn. Just smile. Don't say anything because he'll get in, you know, and you'll look bad. So I just smiled. And I thought about it for a lot of times. I thought, you know, one of the big things that really worries me about this is that he might turn up at our church and he'll never go home and I will never be able to have my lunch. But I've thought about it, and I thought about it in the context of the passage that we're reading. I was thinking about it this week. You know, I think that we so often come to worship without that confidence that we can enter into the presence of God. And we come in and we look at the worship team. And we expect that they will lead us into the presence of God. Or we look at the pastor and we think that it's his job to do it, you know. And I've had a lot of people come up to me, you know, will you pray a blessing upon me? It's our job to bring the presence of God to people. But this passage says, you can come confidently before him. You don't need the worship team to make it happen for you. You don't need the pastor to do it for you. You can confidently come before the presence of God. And I think this guy, even though he's winding me up, missed something. And if I had the confidence to say it, I should have said it. Oh, I was going to say his name there. Let it out. Read the Bible. Because you can confidently come into it. Are you confidently coming into it this morning? But you know, sometimes we might be like this guy and we think, I need somebody to help me do that. I need somebody to help me do that. And this is what this passage is about. Because it's a beautiful promise in there that Jesus helps us. But what we so often miss is who this Jesus is. Because the passage starts off in verse 14, chapter 4, our high priest. And it's a high priest's job to help you come into the presence of God. It's a high priest's job that will work in your life, and the ministry of the high priest will enable you to confidently come into the presence of God. And experience the presence of God, not once, but continually. be in his presence. Are you in his presence this morning? Are you in his presence this morning? And really, you know, the book of Hebrews, we've been going through it, is the book of Hebrews is a book that talks about the high priest ministry of Jesus. And we saw through our time, you know, that one of the key verses is Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. My friends, God has chosen you to be his holy people, so think about Jesus and the one we call our apostle and high priest. Consider Jesus, some Bibles say. You know, as you consider Jesus, as you think about Jesus, what do you consider? If somebody said, you know, who is Jesus to you? Some people say he's Lord of my life. Some people would say that he's Savior of my life. But how many people would say, sorry, welcome. Welcome, have you guys here. I don't usually do this, but I like to go down to the back people so they feel part of the place, you know. You know, as somebody says that, would you say, Jesus is my high priest? Who would say that? How often do you hear it said, you know, when you're in your vital groups, you know, say, hey, Jesus is my high priest. No, we Lord and Savior, but we miss this whole picture that Jesus is our high priest. And we've got 13 chapters of a book here that's talking about Jesus as our high priest. And this book is saying, consider Jesus as your high priest. What ministry does he play in your life as high priest? How do you see Jesus as high priest? And I believe that Jesus is bringing a fresh revelation in his church of the ministry of high priest, of the high priest ministry in his church right at this very time. And we're sitting right in it, and I think some people are missing it. There's a ministry going on at the Father heart of God. And many of you have heard about it, and many of you have probably seen YouTube clips. You've probably heard some of the sermons that we've preached on it today in our church. And the ministry, I believe, of when it comes to the ministry of the Father heart of God, it's a ministry that is performed by a high priest ministry. A priestly ministry, and we've missed this whole part of it. And I think some of the reason that it's not really moving in the way that it should be because we don't understand the high priestly role of Jesus Christ. There's a ministry going on in the church, a fresh revelation of the ministry of sonship. And I believe that it comes that we would truly understand and enter more fully into it when we truly understand what it means of the high priest ministry of Jesus when it comes to our sonship. There is a great ministry unfolding, a fresh revelation of what it means, and I believe this is for you, Carolyn, of what it means to be an intercessor. There's an intercessory ministry that is unfolding, that has been unequaled in the life of the church over the centuries. A powerful intercessory ministry that is going on and God is releasing in churches right across the globe at the moment. And I believe that the key of this ministry is to understand the high priest ministry of Jesus. Because the Hebrews tells us that he is right at the moment making intercession for us. A high priest ministry. The priestly ministry of intercession. And Jesus has called you to that. And I believe Carolyn and Simone and others that are part of our intercessors team is for you to push in and seek Jesus and seek his face on his high priest ministry. I believe that we have only begun to look at it. We talk about so many other aspects of Jesus, but I think that we've missed his high priest ministry. And I believe, and I want to speak this prophetically in the house, that God is bringing revelation of the high priest ministry of Jesus. And this is what this passage talks about. And this is what the book begins to unfold here. And you might be thinking, high priest ministry, man, I've got a whole lot of problems in my life. And I came along to church to see whether you could give me some answers to those. And you're stuck on about the high priest ministry of Jesus. Yawn. I think that as if you read this passage and it's if you read it and you get I think the heartbeat of what's coming through here is that the author's kind of thinking, this is what it's like in the church. Because he says in verse 11, you've grown dull. That you become numb when it comes to the things of God. And he's bursting. Man, he's like me at the moment. He's kind of like, I got so much to tell you about this high priest ministry of Jesus. Man, I'm busting, but you're dull. So I'm like, is it time to go home yet? He's talking about high priest ministry. I got all this stuff going on in my life, and he's talking about high priest. Give me a bullet. And he's saying, man, I've got so much. much to talk to you about the high priest ministry of Jesus. I want to tell you about it, but you've grown dull. And he says in this passage in verse 11, you should be going on in Jesus, man, but I've got to go back to the foundation. You've got to laying on of hands and all this foundation stuff that you should have in place. I'm busting at the gut to bring revelation. You guys should be mature. You should be hungry for this. You should be going on strong in Jesus. You want to be pushing into this. And I know that's your passion. You're not dull. You're not bored with this stuff. You're saying, yes, bring it on. High priest ministry of Jesus. Oh, yeah. And the first thing we learn about the high priest ministry of Jesus is that a priest makes a sacrifice for sin. And I've read over this. I've studied it. I've prayed about it. And I've thought, why is this whole concept of the cross so difficult to preach on? And I believe God wants to bring a greater revelation and release a greater power of the Spirit when it comes to the crucifixion, the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, because we've lost it. And this passage, verse 1, says that a high priest makes sacrifices for sin. He represents man before human beings before God. And the high priest he would go into the temple and offer sacrifices on the altar of lambs and different animals for the sins of the people. And it was a real messy business. And he'd do this once a year. And he'd enter in behind the curtain of the temple into the presence of God and offer a sacrifice. And what this book is saying is that there is a greater high priest than the high priest that is there. There's Jesus. He's offered a sacrifice once for all sin. And if we know anything about sin, sin brings a block between us and God. You know, I've been a pastor for years and years and years now, 25 years or something. And that's right. Yeah, I look at Jude. She knows the days. And she counts them. Oh, another day. Another day's gone, honey. And if we know, I don't even know what I was talking about. I lost my thought. Yeah, if we know anything about sin, we know that it causes a block between us and God. You know, I meet so many people over the years I've been in ministry. You know, say, I really find it hard to come to God. You know, I know God's a father. But I want to experience him as a father. I know that God loves me and that he wants to bless. I just feel like there's this big distance between us and God. And I come back to this sacrifice of Jesus, and I think you've missed it. If only you truly understood and have experienced what it means in your life, you wouldn't feel the distance. And I believe God's calling some people in this church for you to rise up and take hold of a fresh priestly anointing, that you would be one that would minister the power of the cross, that we would bring it back into the church, and that we would minister. And as the power of the cross and the sacrifice of Jesus is ministered, people will be set free. And some of you, that'll be burning in your heart. But I would challenge you, get into the scriptures. Get it deep within your heart so that it would come out of your heart, out of your mouth, and that you would see people set free. We've got to come back to this. Was a high priestly role. Now, if we look at this book, and the person that was writing, he's writing to Hebrews. Obviously, it's a book to Hebrews, and he's writing to Jews, and they would have heard that Jesus is a high priest, and they would have thought, "Oh, give us a break. There's no way Jesus could be a high priest," because they were big into their genealogies. And if you look in Matthew, and if you look in the book of Luke, there's big in the genealogy. You read it and you think, oh, my Bible reading today is genealogy. Oh, how boring is that? I'll go on to something better. But they were big in this, and they would have been looking through here, and they would have said, Jesus cannot be a high priest. That is impossible for Jesus to be a high priest. You know why? Because Jesus came, for his family line was traced back to the tribe of Judah. And if it was traced back to the tribe of Judah, that means that he came from a kingly tribe, the tribe that David came from. And he could be king, yes, but he could not be a high priest. Because high priests came from a line of Levi. And they were Levites. High priests were Levites. And everybody who worked in the temple, they had to be a Levite. And Jesus wasn't a Levite, so he couldn't be a high priest. And and the writer to Hebrews, he knew that. And so he comes and he says that Jesus was of a different order. He was of the order of Melchizedek. And it's important that we really understand who Melchizedek is. And this isn't a yawn stuff. This is important stuff. And he had to have come, for Jesus to have been a high priest, there had to be an order that he came from. And it was under the order of Melchizedek. And so he spends a lot of time talking about this guy, Melchizedek. He spends the next three chapters unfolding Melchizedek. And this is such important stuff. And and he starts unfolding it, and he mentions it five times in the book. And we find the story of Melchizedek written in Genesis chapter 14, and one little brief mention in Psalm 110. And Abraham at the time the book was this passage was written, he was also became name known as Abraham. His nephew Lot had gotten into a lot of trouble. He was taken captive by a king called Chedorlaomer, and so Abraham got all his best fighting men, and they went and they attacked the king, killed him, and brought Lot back. And it's an amazing victory. So here's Abraham, he's coming in, or Abraham coming in, you know, covered in blood, sword is all bloodied, and we had a great battle. And he comes back into the city. And as he comes back in, he's met by this guy called Melchizedek. And Genesis chapter 14, 18 says, Melchizedek, king of Salem, he was the priest of the Most High God. And what we see here is that this is the order that Jesus lived under. Melchizedek was the priest of the Most High God. And this is important. Ever before Levitical priests were ever brought into existence, before Levi was even in nappies, this priesthood existed. And Melchizedek comes out to him and he meets him. And the name Melchizedek, Malak means king, and Zedek means righteousness. He is the king of righteousness. Does that ring a bell in you? Some people say this is a picture of Jesus. Yes, it is. Some people believe that it was the pre-incarnate Christ. It could be, I don't know. And he meets this king, he is the king of Salem. And if we know anything about the word of Salem, the root word of Salem means peace. He is the king of righteousness of a kingdom of peace. He is the king of peace. And if you know Jesus, you'll know peace in your life. And actually the word Salem, he was a king of a city that's well known to people, Jerusalem, city of peace. And it was later to become a Jewish city. And it's a very important city. And this is happening hundreds of years before Jesus entered into the world stage. But now, this is the exciting bit. He comes out. I don't know whether it was in a tray, little cups, with bread and wine. Isn't that bread and wine? Bread and wine. That's exciting, isn't it? What is that? What does a picture of bread and wine mean to you? It's a picture of the sacrifice of Jesus. It was a prophetic picture of what Jesus would do on the cross. I loved how the Message paraphrases what Jesus said in John 8:56. It says, "Abraham, your father, was jubilant. With jubilant faith, looked down the corridors of history and saw my day coming. He saw it and cheered." This is what Abraham's doing. He's looking down history. He's going, yes. He's seeing the sacrifice of Jesus that was reflected in the bread and the wine. You know, bread and wine crucified on a cross. The bread, the picture of his body that was nailed up to that tree, and the wine, a picture of his blood. And wine is what? A new covenant relationship. And when we truly understand the sacrifice that Jesus made through his body and through his blood, we're connected with God, and we can confidently draw near to him. Sin has been removed. This is amazing. We need a fresh revelation of this. Romans 8:34, God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do, by sending his son in the likeness of flesh to deal with sin in the flesh. Listen to this. He condemns sin in the flesh. You know, that is such a powerful verse. We can skim over it. And what it really means is that God judged sin. He judged sin as being guilty. He said, this is so evil. I'm going to take sin and I'm going to plump it on my son. And my son is going to die with sin on his body. And he is going to put the power of sin to death upon his body. You know, when people are racked in the same manner, I'm really struggling with sin, or I'm just a sinner, you know, and I might know Jesus. He might be my savior, but I'm still a sinner. I'm still struggling with it. They haven't got the power of the cross. Jesus died and took the power of sin and he put it to death. And if you believe in him and he's living in your heart, then the power of sin has been broken over your life. And he wants us to minister in that power. And you know, so often we're going and we're praying, casting out demons and doing this and doing that, rather than coming to the foot of the cross and saying, he has broken the power of sin over your life and you are free. Will you step into it? And ministering in a cross and a crucifixion and a sacrificial high priestly ministry, you're free. And I believe God wants to bring that back into the house today. The high priest ministry. Hebrews 9:28, Christ also was offered for once for all time as a sacrifice to take the sins away of many people. He takes it away. Why are people still carrying it? Oh, man, I'm feeling a real rotten sinner. Jesus is taking it away. And you declared that in your baptism. That's why baptism is so important. If you haven't been baptized today, you need to get baptized. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also died for sins once and for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God. And if you're struggling to come to God, then come back and consider Jesus. He's paid the cost. That's what a high priest does. And he wants to release that ministry in the house. And a beautiful picture, you know, I love this picture, you know, of the temple. And Jesus died and he breathed out his last breath and gave up his spirit. And the Bible says that there was an earthquake shaken and the curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom. I love that picture, don't you? And it's like God was saying, I want you to come into my presence. And that picture of the curtain cut off the holy place from the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies was the place the presence of God was dwelt. And it was like God saying that I don't just want you to come into a physical temple. I want you to come into a spiritual one. And it was like he was saying, I'm going to tear the curtain. And he tore it from top to bottom. If a man tore it, it would be bottom to top. And he tore it and he said, come into my presence. The way is open through the sacrifice of my son. And as you came to worship this morning, you can draw near to him. You can come into his presence. And you can receive all that he wants to give to you. Now, the second thing about the high priest, I had 35 things about the high priest, but I've narrowed it down to two. Just for you today. You are so lucky. I was so excited when this kind of just came clear to me, you know. So Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest.
but appointed by him who said, you are my son, today I've begotten you. That's weird, isn't it? Have you ever heard that? That after Jesus' baptism, God said, you're my son. And we go, oh man, you're God's son. God wants to know you. Have you heard his voice say, you're my son? You're my daughter. Have you discovered the father heart of God? And this was part of Jesus' appointment to being a high priest. Sonship. And then he goes on and he says, in another place, you're a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He was appointed high priest. A high priest is appointed by God. They don't just say, hey, I want to be the high priest. Okay, well, I'm starting a church here, you know. Oh, well, I'll be the high priest. No, you've got to be appointed by God. And Jesus was appointed by God to be a high priest. And he heard his voice of his father speaking to him. But, you know, I think an important point that comes out here is that priesthood is rooted in sonship. You believe that? Priesthood is rooted in sonship. I was reading a guy, Andrew Murray, during the week, and he said this. This opens up the true nature of the character of priesthood. It shows us that priesthood is rooted in sonship. And listen to this. The work of a priest of the priesthood is revealed, is to reveal and to communicate the blessed life of sonship. A priest reveals the blessed life of sonship. And you know, we've seen this. There's a move of God going on and bringing revelation of the Father heart of God, of the sonship of Jesus, that we're his sons, that we're his daughters. But I've never heard anybody say that it's rooted in a high priest ministry. There's more God wants to reveal in this whole area. And I believe that he's raising that up within this church, that we would minister. We would be priests who minister the high priest ministry of Jesus, a ministry of sonship, that we would reveal the Father heart of God, that we would bring revelation to people that you are sons and daughters of the living God. And this is so true. This is our identity as children of God. Of sons and daughters of God, that we are, this is who we are. This is our real identity. And this is what he wants you to discover more and more and more of, who you are as followers of Christ Jesus, that you are sons, that you are daughters of the living God, that you live in a relationship with Father God who loves you, that you would draw near to him, so close to him that you would hear his heartbeat. And it goes like this. I love you. 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 Have you heard that? Or is it something, man, I'm struggling to know? Come back to the cross. Sacrifice, he removes the barrier. The way is open into his presence. As you come into his presence, you'll hear his heartbeat. Fudu, fudu, fudu. I love you. 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 You're my son. I want you to know your identity as a son. You know, so many people, they can read the Bible, they understand all these truths, but they haven't really discovered the heart of the message is sonship. And a high priest is appointed by God to reveal and communicate the blessed life of sonship. That's what Jesus did. Read the Gospels. For the Son of Man. For the Son of God. All his ministry was as a son. The Son's come to show us who the Father is. If you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. It was all about sonship. And people go off on their theological tangents and they do this, and they, when they come back to the essence of it, the cross that points to living sons and daughters of the living God. And there's a movement of God. He's raising up priests and he's calling some of you out to stand up and to bring a revelation of sonship and the Father heart of God. And there's a call going out to his church. God's your Father. You can draw near to him and come close enough, hear his heartbeat. And through his ministry, you'd know you're truly loved by him, a love that surpasses all knowledge. That's not just head knowledge, but I've experienced it through personal encounter with the living God. That's what he wants for you. And it happens when you've come to the cross and that you've had your sins lifted off you and every obstacle's removed and that you can come into the presence in the throne room of the Father. One of the most amazing things Jesus showed us is the Father heart of God. I think that this is where our true identity lies, you know. And I think the world that we're living in, and if I think this is why the mandate is so important. Do you ever get upset about the mandate of the gay and lesbian movement, the LGBT movement? You know, and what is this doing? It's saying that identity is found in gender. Is that where identity is found? And it's a crusade that's going out and it's changing the very face of the world that we live, because it's looking, it's searching for identity. It's desperate to find identity. It's searching and it's trying to find identity. And the more that it tries to find identity, the greater the confusion is. It becomes more and more confused. I read something the other day that really caught my eye. We call it the LGBT community, and it's getting a lot of attention, but I got this one, LGBTQQIAAP community. You say, why is that? Well, something like 70 genders around now, and the LGBTQQIAAP, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, transsexual, queer, questioning, intersex, asexual, ally, and pansexual. The more they try to find their identity based upon gender, the more it multiplies, the more confused it gets, the bigger the confusion comes, the bigger the mess is. People are searching for their identity by gender. When the kingdom of God, our identity, is found in relationship with God, who's Father, and lived as sons and daughters of God. This is our mandate, this is our message. This is all that Jesus showed us through the Gospels. The heart of a father and a son who lives in relationship with them. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is all about. Who died upon the cross and gave us a sacrifice so that we could boldly come into the presence of God because our sin has been taken away. Our identity isn't found in gender. It's found in Jesus. You know, I went to this I'm just nearly finished. I went to this conference on gender and sexuality in the church a couple of weeks ago. And the guy who was the speaker wrestled with same-sex attraction all his life. He grew up as PK, pastor's kid, and he wrestled with it. He was living in South Africa, and then he got a scholarship to go to New York. He went to New York, and you know what New York is like. The gay scene is really big there, and he was just pulled, and he ended up in the gay scene. He ended up in a relationship with a guy, was living with this guy, and during that time, God said to him, there's something more. There's something more. And cut a long story short, that set him on a quest to find out what the something more was in God. And he started searching it, and to cut another long story short, he discovered the Father heart of God and his identity as a son of God. And that dramatically changed him. When he saw that his identity wasn't determined by his gender, but it was determined by Father God, in his relationship he lived with him as a son. It was life-changing. Life-changing. You know, this is our mission statement. to help people discover, to help people live the life that God intends. I said intended last first sermon, and somebody came out and said it's intends, because it's not in the past, it's right in the present. I thought, oh, good point. Thank you. God, this is the life God wants you to live. Are you living it? But this is the ministry he wants us to minister in. To bring order where there's chaos. To bring truth where there's confusion. To bring right identity where there's been wrong identity. You know, we've been called to be a ministry of priests. You are a chosen people, 1 Peter 2:9. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God. That's the goodness of God we've just been talking about. He called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Out of the darkness of confusion about your identity, who you are. So many people don't know who they are. They're all messed up and mixed up. They don't know the purpose and the reason for living. This is where it's found, here, in Jesus. In Jesus. And he is inviting you to be a part of this movement of priests that is rising up across the nation who would minister the Father heart of God and the identity that we have as his sons and daughters. It's a powerful revolutionary movement of God that we would be priests for our King. And for others, you're called to an intercessory ministry, which is just modeled on Jesus' high priest ministry. I'm going to talk about that later. Not now, but in a few weeks. We had the team up. I just think that God wants to minister to hearts this morning. This is so powerful. I believe that we're standing in a threshold of moving into more of what he's revealing in his church already. But I think that there's more for us to understand about the high priest ministry of Jesus, that we would come under it, that we would be affected by it, that we would live in it, and that we would minister out of it. The Father heart of God. You know, imagine if men across this country got the Father heart of God. There would be a revolution in fatherhood right across families. Dads loving their kids. It would transform it. Imagine if it rose up in the church that we've had, rather than having all these strong leaders and a leadership revolution, we had a father heart revolution, and some of the old guys really reflected the Father heart of God. I could give you story after story that's made me cringe of what some older people have done to younger people, when they should be nurturing them and bringing them alongside and speaking into their heart and showing them what a father heart truly looks like. They cut them down, and it makes my heart weep. The high priest ministry of Jesus is calling you to rise up. He's speaking to hearts this morning. Yes, Lord, count me in. I want to be a priest for God. I want to be moving across this nation. I want to stop the confusion that people are having about their identity and show them what their true identity is, because I know who I am in Christ Jesus. I'm his son, I'm his daughter, and I'm moving into that, and I'm understanding that, and I want to bring revelation of that to people around about me. Oh, Lord, I've known your love touching my heart, and I want to bring that love into the community, in my workplace, into my family, into the places that I live 24/7, that I would be part of this revolution. Will you stand up? Let's stand and worship him. Let's just stand. I just think that God wants to touch hearts this morning. Let's just pray. The Lord's saying, will you open your heart to me? Just shut your eyes and just picture for a moment the temple and the torn curtain, and the hand of God almost reaching out and saying, come into my presence. The way's open.
the roadblock of sin has been removed. Come. Draw near to me. I don't want you to get this intellectually. I want you to know this in a true sense of biblical knowledge within your heart, personally. Come. Come to me. And as you come, and as you come close to him, as you look towards him, hear his voice saying, "You're my son. You're my daughter. And let him lift the weight of the sin you've been carrying off you. Oh, off you. Off you. Oh, that self-condemnation, that self-hatred, he's lifting it off. The guilt that you've got, the shame, he's lifting it, lifting it. That sense of rejection, he's lifting it off. Self-condemnation, he's lifting it, lifting it. My son paid the price for that. Come to me." He's just releasing his spirit on you now. And for some of you, you know that. You've rested in that. He's saying there's more. I want you to be a priest. I want you to step into ministry. I want to anoint you. I want to empower you. I want to release you in this, the ministry of sonship, the ministry of father heart. I want you to show the world my heart in the way that you live. He's calling you. Rise up in this. Church has lost its way in ministry. A father's heart, a ministry of sonship. You're a priest. For others, there's something about intercession. I believe there's more that God wants to release in the next weeks. But will you step into it and say, "Lord, show me. I want to consider Jesus. I want to think about Jesus. I want to come to the feet of Jesus, a high priest who will show me how the more there is an intercessory ministry." Will you come? Start singing. There's more.